So yesterday we did halacha of the dinner shlichas. Shlichas by a man. And a man, how do you know a man is allowed to use a shliach to divorce his wife? So it says, v'shilach instead of v'girsha. V'shilcha is supposed to be v'girsha. So the idea we said is, what's the difference? We said v'girsha implies that in gerishin, it's not just a matter of you're sending her. Just sending her off, but there's an idea of you being megarish. You're driving her away, breaking. There's a chalos of ishus, and you're breaking that chalos, and that demands like a strong break of the thing. So the action of a girsha, with the term girshin, is really the proper term because you're breaking her away, driving her away in a strong, permanent manner. It's not like you're just going to send her away and she'll come back, but you're driving her away. Like I said, it says by Yavam, by Hagar, but garish is ben hamaz, also it's ben ah. Drive her away, you know, just send her away, come back, vacation, you know, just a little, that's not the idea here. Gershon is a total break. She's driven out of the house. So the question is, how does that, and there's, so how would that halachically manifest itself if it said be Gershon? So it would mean, the only way you could have the, what's the difference practically between driving away and sending away? It's the same action as sending her away. But the difference is the Gavra, that if the Gavra has a relationship with her, the husband, and he wants to get rid of her, and then he sends her away, that's a mice of Gershon. But if you have a shliach do it, you can't transfer that quality of a garrison to the shliach. The shliach is just doing a shilcha. You're just sending. It's creating the effect of her being sent away. So the fact that the Torah did not use the word begirshin means the Torah does not want to insist on that type of that quality, on that type of action. Rather, it wanted it didn't demand, it just wanted to send her away. So you send her away, do any sending her away. So therefore you use a shliach. So he said, so where does this quality of gerushin come from? It's still called gerushin, it's not called shiluchin, so apparently there is this idea of breaking really breaking the relationship. So he said, that exists in the chafta shall get. That's a sefer krisos. And the halachic structure of the shtar has to be one, which is, lashon is muchach, a total break in the relationship. So the din gerushin doesn't come from the maisa, that it's a forceful maisa, so to speak, but it comes from the chafta, which is being used. So, right. So he said, and then he said, perhaps it's good philosophically, that's part of the Kedusha. The Kedusha, because you see the Rambam, when he mentions before Mount Tor, after Mount Tor, or at the beginning of Ishos, Aleph, Aleph, whatever, Beit, Gimel, something like that, where he says, now also you need a get to get rid of the Ishos. So to say this is that previously you just did a forceful action of Gerushin, just threw out of the house. And the quality of Gerushin comes from the mechanical or the human getting rid of her, the instinctual component which makes it into a forceful get out of here. But halacha took that instinctual throwing her out and made it into a halachic throwing her out, which means you give her a chafza shel sefer krisos and a nasan biyada. It sort of sounds like a shilcha, it's a nasan and a nasan biyada. So it's like the action is really a passive a calm action, but the shame gerushin comes from the halacha chafza shel get. So it takes this thing which is like an instinctual process and it makes it into, you know, subordinates it to a halachic process which has the same conceptual character, but it comes about through a different, without the instinctual, you know, connotation. So that's good. That's the part of the kedusha of gerushin. Okay. So as you say yesterday. So then the Gemara says, fine, that's by the Baal. But how do you know by the Isha Shalech works? So it says Vashilcha. If you read Vashilcha, really literally means Vashilcha. Vashilach Osa, he'll send her. But if you read it without the Ma'apake, it means and she sends. So it implies she can make a Shalech. Okay, it's a lima. So the question is why would I think that a woman can't make a Shalech? See, because if you said that it was the Maisa of Gerushin, the old idea, then you'd say they have to both be Ba'atzmam. Can't use a shliach on either side, because what's he going to do, throw out her shliach? It's not going to work. It doesn't have the quality either. So in that framework, then it makes sense that on both sides you can't have a shliach. But once you say that it's not really that quality, but really it's just a maisa of shiluach, maisa of sending her away, creating the effect, what's the difference if you do it to her or you do it to her shliach? Either way, you're creating the effect of sending her away. Either way, you're creating the effect of sending her away. So why should I think that the shliach would not be good, such that you need another limud. So you need another limud. Right, that's the question.
Put your finger on that.
Yeah, so what Danny and Johnny are saying, I think we should look into Zerash. Because I had a different svara. I had a different svara than you guys are suggesting. But after I had done it, like a few days afterwards, I found Zerash who asked this question, and he gives a svara that I think is on your path. But maybe we could see what he says and then maybe tighten up your way. And then maybe afterwards we'll come back to what I was thinking. Okay, so the Tozer Rosh, it's good he asked the same question. You see, because, you know, you wonder if it's a strong question. But he asked the same problem. He says, Why do you need two psukim? Because it would seem, and there's an argument, either you'd argue that Gerishin is a maisa begufam, the husband and wife, or you say, no, it's not a maisa begufam, it's really just an idea of like creating a certain effect, getting her the get somehow. So the effect of the thing. In which case, who really cares if therefore the husband doesn't need shleach, therefore the husband doesn't need rasa, then the isha shouldn't need rasa. Same exact thing. So that's kasha. So what sense does it make to say one needs to be rasa, one needs shleach? So he says, V'yesh lomar dehave amina de beba'al hu deshayah shlichas. I say, well, the husband, that's where shlichas is shayach. She'inu megaresh ela midaito. Because he can only divorce her willingly with his das. Aval isha shemisgareshes baal karcha, but a woman who is divorced against her will, lo olim maisa dida kulei hai. She'tucha olim no shlichum koma. Her action is not strong enough. Is not that strong that she's able to appoint the shliach in her place. Okay? Lo olim maisa dida kulehai. Her action isn't strong enough to be able to appoint the shliach in her place. Since it's against her will, therefore, against her will means that she can't object to get. I mean, the husband give it to her and she can't say, I don't want to get divorced. The husband has to willingly divorce her. But for her, it's against her will. So since it's saying it's against her will, therefore her action isn't strong enough. On the surface, I mean, they're not the same thing. I mean, Bal Karcha is whether she's willing or not. But what does that have anything to do with her? What her role is? Like, just because you could force her to do it doesn't mean that she doesn't do an action and she it could be, you know, she appoints Shlech or not appoints Shlech. Because that's what I'm mentioning about, because it's against her will. I mean, it might somehow be looming in the background, but it seems like Tosfos is making a hinge upon that. That's saying, since it could be Bal Karcha, so therefore her action isn't strong enough to make a shliach. Of course, also, Kulei Hai is always, whenever you see Lashon Kulei Hai, it's funny, you know? It's not strong enough, her action. Strong enough, I mean, it's not strong. So it's not strong enough to be able to make a shliach. What does that mean? You also have the Kasha, which is on, I guess, what Rosh is saying on your approach. It's so fine. So let's say you see that point, why it doesn't make sense, right? So then what's the limud? The limud is that you just say, oh, she could appoint the shliach. So, like, you know, it's like, what's the maskana? It's like, you know, if it's a logical point that she can't be a shliach because her maisa isn't strong enough to make a shliach, then what's the amen? Then what's the maskana? Yeah, so here's, I think it's good. I'd like to frame it a little differently, but I think the crux of the idea is the same. But what's pshat in Bal Karcha? Because that's the way Kanya Tozer Rosh is framing it. He's basing it on Bal Karcha. You know, what's pshat in Bal Karcha? So I just want to give an example to illustrate that there are two ideas in Bal Karcha, two types of ideas in Bal Karcha. And a mundane example, which is like, let's say, for instance, in America, you're forced to pay your taxes. Right? It's Bal Karcha. You have a choice. You're forced to pay your taxes. Right? You're forced. True? Okay. Now, let's say you have another country which has a king. Not a government, not a democracy or whatever. You have a king, and the king comes around, and his messengers come around and force you to pay your taxes. In other words, they actually take your taxes. Like, they come and they pull it out of your hands, or they give me your taxes, you know, and they forcefully take hold of your taxes, you know. So that's also Bal Karcha, okay? But they're different Bal Karchas. Because in the second Bal Karcha, you'd almost say you're not paying taxes. You're not even doing an action of paying taxes. I mean, they're just forcefully taking the taxes, and you're almost like an object. You're just the object. I guess you let them take them. I guess by just not laying on top of your money or whatever. But you know it's like a passive idea. The Bal Karcha renders you a non-performer. In a sense, you know, you're totally there doing it, and it's against your will. So your role is just to let it happen. You know, it takes away your activity almost. Even if you give it to them, but the nature of the setup is such that you're giving it to them isn't really an action. It's just you're just being forced. It's just that you're just like, so to speak, an accident of their forceful taking. But then, like in America, I'd say is you're forced to pay your taxes, but I still say there's an action of paying taxes, okay, because it's like an extrinsic force. It's an extrinsic bal karcha, which means it doesn't take away from your action. You're doing an action of sending a check to the government, and it's like a willful action. It's not under duress or anything. Now, it's true that externally you don't have a choice about it, and there's a law that you have to do it. But the action isn't a forced action. The action is a free action. And then there's force from without. There's something extraneous forcing you. Whereas when a guy has a gun to your head doing it, it's a forced action. The action itself is forced. Okay? Because they're like taking it out of your hands. They're not. It's not extraneous to the action, but it's part of the action itself. So bal karcha can mean two things. Again, it can mean the action itself renders you simply like a chafza. It's passive, or it could just be, no, and the action is the same action. You're an active party. And it just from externally is a din of, there's a bal karcha. Okay. So maybe that's the question here. Is that when you say that a woman is bal karcha, the simple way to understand that is that she's simply an object. Okay, and this is Danny, I guess what you're saying, is that the husband divorces his wife. He's a megarish his wife. He throws his wife out of the house. And it's a one-way action. Which means is you throw her out. How do you do it? You give her the gat. But she's not doing anything. It's just, what do you do with the gat? Do you put it in the bezdin? Do you put it on the table? Do you put it in her hand? So you put it in her hand. But she's not doing anything. It's bal karcha. She's not, it's not like we're getting divorced. It's I'm divorcing you. So her action is simply she receives it. He has to put it in her hand. So in a certain sense, you can say she's receiving. But that's not an action. Bal karcha is she's just her action is simply that which completes his action. She's simply, she is the vehicle of his action reaching fulfillment. But she's not active. If that's the idea, then she can't appoint the shlech. Because a shlech means, like, I'm a gavra, and I have a role here, and I want to pass off my role to someone else. I have to do certain action, and I don't want to do the action. I want to set up a vehicle who's going to do my action for me. But here, there's no action she's doing. He's the husband gives the wife to her. And he can't give it to someone else that's not giving it to her. And she can't say, do give it to someone else instead of me. That's not, if she has to do an action of receiving, then you could say that. But if you say that she's simply the recipient of his action, and her role is simply to qualify his action as giving it to her, then that can't be transferred to somebody else. So far, so good? Okay, but, so that's what I would have thought. Okay, that's what I would have thought. She's not involved in any way. But Vishilcha, like I said, limud, of course, but like Vishilcha means then she sends. And it's from the limud implies that she's active in the thing. Okay, it's an active term if you take out the mapaka, So it's not, she doesn't actually send because it's the husband sending, but it uses in the limud, it points to activity on her part. Which means is that really no, she does an action of receiving. Whereas gerushin is a process where the husband gives and the wife receives. The husband does an action of giving, the wife does an action of receiving. Now, does she have a choice? No, she doesn't have a choice. She's externally forced by halacha to do this action. She has no right to say, I'm not interested. It's just like in America, you have no right to say, I'm not going to pay taxes. But that's from without. But it doesn't change the nature of the an interpersonal activity where the baal and the wife are doing a joint action of divorce. The baal does the action of the giving, and the woman receives. And if that's the case, that she's like doing an action, she has an active role of receiving the get, so say, I'm not going to receive it, I'll give it to my shliach for Kabbalah. For my shliach of receiving. And then her shliach will do the action in her stead. Receive. I mean, receiving is a maisa, because it doesn't mean like, I guess you have to put your hand out, you have to accept it. It's a certain type of an activity. It's not just throw it on our, there's a Kabbalah. I mean, it's a different type of an action. But that's an action. Take it. You say, take it. I don't want to take it. I don't want to take it. Take it. It's like there's such a thing. It's an action of receiving. It means you are making yourself available for a certain action of giving. Because giving can only exist when you have a person who receives. It's not an act, it's a different type of an action. It's passive, but it's a maisa. You know what I mean? Like, maisa doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're doing something like, it's still active. You have to move also. I mean, I guess you have to do something. But there is a din of Kabbalah. And that's a question that you throw into our shliach, into our chatzar, that also works. But that's a question how that works. But I'm saying there's a din of Kabbalah. I mean, you see, it's the Kabbalah. They call it Kabbalah. Shliach for Kabbalah, for halacha. It's a more refined action, you know what I mean? But I think it's an action nonetheless. Yeah, that's what I think it means. Lo olam ma'isa de kulehai. Shetuchal ha'nashlev m'kama. Is that she's in Balkarcha, so it means Balkarcha, her Maisa, there is an action receiving, but the action isn't like an independent action. It's simply qualifying his action. And this is not called Kulei. There is definitely some action, but the nature of the thing, it's not an independent action. It's just an idea of qualifying his giving that she has to receive it. But that's what I would have thought. Kamash Malan, it's really an action. Yeah, so that's the Rosh thing. So I had a different svar though. Before I saw the Rosh, I was just thinking about the problem. But I looked around. I don't think anyone else says anything different. But I just saw another way to understand how it's gonna, which is that if you have, because again, the question is, why would you think if the Baal doesn't have to do a Ba'atzmo, so you can use a Shliach, and the Shliach is okay because it's just an idea of shiluach. It's an idea of giving of gerushin. There's the gerushin comes through the chavta. So what's the difference if the shliach gives it to her or to her shliach? See, what maybe you'd say is like, see, in Ishus, there's two things. There's like the relationship between them, and there is there's the chalas shame in the isha, right? She is a mikdashas. So. Right, there's the bailus, the tie to him, and then there's the chalos in her that she is designated. She has a chaloshem. Okay, and like I think we said meurasas means like she's bound up to him, and then she is a chaloshem of Isser, with everyone else. So maybe you'd argue is that, see, in terms of the ma'isa gerushin, so it's really just the ma'isa shiloh. He's just sending her away, and he can use a shliach. But the thing is that in Gerushin, you're not just breaking, being co-raised to the relationship, but you're trying to take her, who has a chalos shame, mekudeshas, and remove that chalos. Trying to create an effect in the isha. And that being the case, you may argue that in order to create a change in her chalos shame, you have to do a maisa to her. Like a maisa shiluach, or a maisa of sending her away. The effect of the relationship, you say, okay, fine. But in other words, since there is a halakha chalos which inheres in har, you'd have to do a maisa to har in order to change that chalos, or to effectuate her identity. She has an identity. So you have to do a maisa shiloh to her to change that identity. Now, it doesn't matter if the Baal does it or the Baal's shliach does it. But it has to be to har because you're not just acting on an abstract institution of a relationship, and breaking the relationship. The get could say this relationship is broken, but in order to matir har chalos shame, so you may say that you have to do a maisa har. So how do you know shlichus allows for that, or hadosh? Why should shlichus allow for that? That's a different type of a thing. So if you just tell me shlichus by baal v'shilach v'shilcha, that doesn't mean necessarily that a shlich will work to somehow overcome this other problem to change har chalos shame. You following me? So Kamash Malan, that Har Chalos Shem is intrinsically contingent upon the Ishus itself, on the relationship itself. And the way you remove Har Chalos Shem demands nothing more than the break of the relationship. You know what I mean? And since the Chafta Shel Get is a co-race of the relationship, that ipso facto will remove Har Chalos as well. In other words, you don't have to have a separate, it's not, it's the nature of our chalos shem is contingent upon the relationship. So therefore, and that's what creates the other thing. So now you could have argued that, look, it's very nice that's what created it, but now it's a chalos shem and you have to remove it. But the thing is that since the chalos comes from the relationship, so that that which breaks the relationship will simultaneously break our chalos shem. I mean, that's what it's teaching is that doesn't, you could use a shliach also. As long as break her chalos shem, as long as she's involved, she makes a shliach, and the relationship is broken, then her chalos shem will be removed as well. Her chalos shem is not just a chalos shem as his husband, his wife. It's a chalos shem of mikudasha. She's removed, asered from the world. So you see, for instance, even when she's not, before they get married, you create an isser. They said there's two aspects of kedusha. It's designating him to her, but it's also ossering her from the rest of the world. So that chalos, that's a quality in her, that she's ossered from the world. It's true, it's caused by his relationship, but it's a quality of being ossered to him. Now, just because you break the relationship and the tie to him doesn't mean that her chalos isser to the world is removed. She has an identity, but she's now removed from the world. And you'd say that in order to change that, you have to do an action to her. She has an identity, you have to act on her. So the thing is, no, but since Kashmir, since the Kedushin is based upon the Erisin, based upon the bound, her boundness to him, if you do an action which causes the cessation of that bound, that relationship, it's Kores, so then it will simultaneously undermine her Chalashem. Well, it's a little bit rough. Is that he's very removed from the limit or anything, you know? It's like a shliach. It's kind of like if it were like it's not like shliach only comes in like parenthetically, you know? The fact that it, if it's a matter of hachal hashem, so then you can't use a shliach. But the shilach is teaching you could use a shliach, but it's not really you could use a shliach. It's just teaching you the nature of that hachalos is hooked in with the erisin, which will mean, in fact, that she could use a shliach. So it's like the limud of teaching you that she, you know, that she's, you know, that you could use a shliach is really something about something much deeper than about shliach or not shliach. It's something far, you know, like almost unrelated to that. But I mean, it is conceptually related. So I don't know if that's a problem. I just saying, it's like in the other one you saw the limud v'shilcha. I mean, she's active. You know, I mean, it's easier to see here. It's how to teach you. She's active. I know it's not even clear what the, because she can make a shliach, but what is it? Her making a shliach. So maybe I'll just have the problem for next time. I guess is the next question. My then says is that's fine that she can make a shliach and he can make a shliach, but how do you know that the shliach can make a shliach? So it says v'shilcha shilach v'shilcha. It says two times says v'shilcha. So malamit she shliach is v'shliach. So it teaches that the shliach can make a shliach. Okay, shliach make a shliach. So apparently, I would have thought that the shliach can't make a shliach, only one shliach. Well, it's not even two shliachim. So that's interesting, right? What's not just gonna? Sure, the thing could carry over, you know. And then I think that's not a big point. Maybe the next point is it says that's fine. Ashkan megerish and mekedushin menalon. How do you know it by ger? That's defined by gerish. How do you know it by kedushin? Because that's what our Mishnah is. So it says v'chitev and diyalef megerishin. Maybe you'll say you just learn it out because gerish and kedushin. What's the difference? Same thing. Do so. Whatever. Coming in, coming out. It says no. It says mali gerishin shkenias mabal karcha. But he says no. But gerishin is bal karcha. So since bal is bal karcha, therefore, you'd think that shlichas works. Okay, it's not the same malkacha because this is even him making a shlich. This is everyone. This isn't only on her. So it's saying, but I'd say since Rashi says shkeish malkacha hilchach nisim nami al deshlichas. Since you can do it against her will, hey, why not? You can also do it with the shlich. It's funny. What does one have to do with another? It seems like a totally different thing. You know. So it says lo mikrov yatsav ha'isa makish ha'vayelitzia. So it's a hackish between Kedushin and Gerushin, which is so just that, you know, what are the steps there, what's going on?